This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The great Steven Sanchez here on Dana and Parks from the New York Post. By the way, we are less than an hour away from Festivus Friday. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. From the New York Post, sophisticated scams fueled by AI are threatening the security of billions of Gmail users, according to a new security warning. As AI powered,
as I pull open my Gmail,
as AI powered phone
Gmail
calls
here,
yeah. By the way, I'm going to tell you a quick story here in just a second. Fascinating. As AI powered phone calls mimicking human voices have become incredibly realistic, a new report from Forbes warned that the email service's 2.5 billion users,
yeah,
which means one out of every three people on this planet has Gmail. Little more than that, but.
I have to be honest, anytime I see a Yahoo or a Hotmail, I'm like,
what
really?
What is wrong with you?
Come on. 25.
The outlet reported that the cyber criminals deploy phone calls posing as Google support, complete with a caller ID that looks convincingly legit. The technician might say the person's account has been compromised in some way or that they are attempting an account recovery. The so-called support agent will then send an email to the user's Gmail account from what appears to be a legitimate Google address to confirm the account was compromised and receive a code to recover the account. Do not click on that email.
Don't click anything, ever.
By
nothing.
They're not online yet as a client of ours, but I think they will be. I had a fascinating client meeting earlier today, and these guys came in from St. Louis, and we were talking about all the, you know, they're in IT support and stuff like that. And one of the I don't know if it's new necessarily, but one of the most common ways that these ne'er-do-wells get into a company's system to hack it so that they can hold it for ransom is that they'll find somebody who works for the company.
Yep.
And they'll basically say, hey, we know you work for Odyssey, right? And maybe, Dan, they've tracked you down and they know that you work here in this building. We're going to hack Odyssey and hold it ransom for $250,000, one with or without you.
You want in?
We'll give you 10 grand if you help us in the door.
Yep.
In the cyber door.
For some of these other large companies, I mean, look, people are people. Humans are humans. There's ne'er-do-wells everywhere, and there's always people wanting to get back at their companies, et cetera, grievances, whatever.
Did they tell you that that's when you should start negotiating, or what was the next step there?
No, Sam, they told me, by the way, that's horribly illegal,
okay. And
you can go to prison.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying.
Don't ask for 50 is not what they said?
Correct. Okay. That is correct. Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm considering all options.
Speaking of ne'er-do-wells, as we await this news conference around 4:30, we will try to take that live if and when it happens on an update with the disaster in Washington. This came to us courtesy of the Grand Valley Police Department overnight. They posted it on social media. I know crime. Most of it is not funny, but every once in a while,
they can be funny.
There can be some comedic elements to bad adult life choices, right?
Yes.
So here's what they wrote on Facebook. Grand Valley Police detectives are seeking the public's help in identifying a suspect involved in a property damage incident at Taco Bell, the one on Buckner Tarsney Road, if you're curious, in Grand Valley.
Is there any other?
It was Sunday, January 12th. The suspect became upset over the speed of service in the lobby. He damaged a display stand in front of other patrons. The suspect is pictured, and we will be describing him. He is described as a white male wearing a blue baseball cap, glasses, a black zip-up hoodie, dark-colored shirt, green cargo pants. He was last seen talking on a cell phone at the time. If you have any information, please contact detectives. And I don't know why this photo makes me laugh, but it does. Is it the Aeropostale zip-up? I don't know what it is, Sam, about this story that makes me laugh.
I mean, this guy, he has got the highest-end fashion that 2002 has to offer.
Would you say 60 years old?
He's pushing it. Yeah, he's definitely in his 50s.
I think at least...
Once you find something you like to wear.
Late 50s, early 60s. He's wearing what I believe to be a very identifiable baseball cap, but I cannot make out the logo, and I have tried.
Hang on, it's like a triangle
type.
Big question
image.
About this: who goes in anymore?
That's what I said, Dan. Who goes inside the Taco Bell? That is almost exclusively a drive-through operation.
And now, he's disappointed in the speed at which he got his diarrhea pills.
Because he's the first person in the history of that lobby to ever walk inside.
I know my right.
I understand when you walk up to a counter of any business, you do expect prompt service. I get that.
He went Joe Walsh on the display, Dan. And then I wanted to know.
And what was the display?
What was the display?
I know my right.
And to whom are we displaying it? Because ain't nobody going inside a Taco Bell.
It's probably, you know, an ad for their latest chalupa or something.
I had Taco Bell the other day.
Did you go in?
No, Dan did.
Yeah, I did. No, I did not.
I knew it. You didn't go in?
No, I didn't.
That's not an inside kind of place.
There's a Taco Bell around here?
Yeah.
The one in Roland Park?
No. It's just right down the road.
There is one on Metcalf, 95th and Metcalf.
There's one up off of Rowe, but there's also one here off of Johnson.
Now, people online joked, and, you know, when you see this guy, I'm telling you, he's got these kind of bizarre glasses on. I don't know what's going on in this man's life. But there were people that suggested resources could probably be used in a different way over something like a display destruction in a Taco Bell.
This is Grain Valley. This is prime time crime.
I said the same thing. Like, and you know, Grain Valley has its own issues like every town. It did amuse me that we were trying to track this man down, and I want to know, what was that display?
And why was he so angry?
Because most indoor fast food display areas are, I mean, let's be honest, they're usually cardboard.
Yeah. It's a cardboard cutout.
You know, they've stopped displaying the giant life-size Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes because
people steal it.
People steal them. They run in, they create a diversion, and they run out with Mahomes under their arm like they're Kelce.
They also treat those cutouts very inappropriately.
I have also seen that.
What are you talking about?
No.
I had the pleasure of working an event out at Arrowhead Stadium for one of our music stations. They were shorthanded. I offered my services. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My job was to stand with the Travis Kelce cutout and facilitate all of the women that wanted a picture with not Travis Kelce.
Your job that day.
That was my duty for 2.5 hours.
To stand next to cardboard Travis Kelce.
That is true. To guard him.
And would some of these women, when they would try to take a picture with cardboard cutout Kelce, be about half his size on purpose?
Keep in mind that we had to zip tie him to the tent. So he was already zip tied to the tent because we were afraid somebody was going to grab him and run off. And then I had to stand there and say, ladies, one at a time.
And like a Friday night at Chippendales.
And the number of hands that were not in an appropriate place were most of them. Actually, all of them.
Ladies.
Girls really? Going wild.
And yes, some of them did ask to take a picture as if...
Right.
Never mind. I'm just not going to continue
like
with
they
that.
Would be maybe
and the
half,
answer is no.
Maybe half his height.
I didn't care as long as you didn't steal it. But yeah, they were objectifying cardboard Travis every chance they got.
We cannot,
what is wrong with women?
We cannot condone that, nor do I condone that.
Now, I mean, he should not, this guy should not have, you know, destroyed some of the property.
How about any of the property?
But I do understand the frustration in this century of
when you want a chalupa, you want it now.
Service does and does not work at many places.
But we don't know. He could have been in there 30 seconds or 4 minutes. Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know what precipitated that him walking into Taco Bell other than the dire need to take a poop. And so he could have had a really bad day.
Yes.
And then just happened to walk into a Taco Bell where the service was not as prompt as he would expect.
Can I just read some of the comments from my posting? I did think a caption was warranted. And here are some of our listeners' submissions. Based on that shirt, he's been waiting in that lobby since 1999. You'd be upset too.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Did he have four pop collars or two?
I mean, this goes to the whole way that the service food is done nowadays with all these door dashing and call-in orders and drive-through
orders. Can someone please let him know that the Arrow hoodie is not of the mature gentleman attire?
I will say that I have been waiting for food before, and they told me that they were hurrying, and I witnessed at least half of the staff not hurrying.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are just a pair of grumpy old demanding men, both of you.
I used to work in that industry.
So did I.
30 seconds, 45 seconds at the drive-thru.
You sound like a grumpy old man.
I am.
From listener Gary, he was just pre-planning his trip to the bathroom. They took too long.
I need to find a cardboard cutout.
913-586-7798. We have Festivus Friday coming your way in about 44 minutes. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. It is our understanding that the NTSB is going to hold a news conference here at the bottom of the hour regarding the plane crash, helicopter crash in Washington, D.C. Almost 48 hours ago. If that does happen, we will bring it to you live. 41 bodies have now been recovered from the Potomac River. Bernard Arnault, the world's fifth richest man, has coined a new phrase for those who are being laid off. You're being promoted outwards. Arnold came up with the eye-roll-worthy corporate jargon earlier this week during an investor call for LVMH. He is the CEO, the parent company of Tiffany and Sephora and several other luxury brands. The French billionaire made the promoted outwards comment while discussing social media company Meta's decision to lay off low-performing employees. He is 75 years old. He claimed that those who lost their jobs are actually being promoted to better jobs, just at different companies. Okay.
So you are being promoted outward.
Someday I'm probably going to hear those words.
Outward toward the door?
Yes.
Positively transition you to not working for this company
it's
anymore.
Outward. Closer to the parking lot.
The parents of a local TV journalist who was fatally shot while reporting on a killing in Central Florida in 2023 have filed a negligence lawsuit against their son's former employer, claiming the TV station did not do enough to protect him. The parents of Spectrum News 13 reporter Dylan Lyons filed the lawsuit earlier this week in Orlando. It seeks monetary damages against Charter Communications, the parent company of Spectrum, on behalf of the journalist's estate. The lawsuit said Lyons was not given any security or protective equipment, even though he was at a crime scene where a woman had been shot and the suspect was still at large.
Real quick, can I just interject
Please.
Here? It's been a while since we've seen a lawsuit of this nature. However, I do think television stations have a responsibility to make their policies very clear that the second you feel like you're not, you know, the hairs on the back of your neck are starting to stand up when you are out in the field, you are allowed to collapse down and get out of there. And maybe that's been updated policy since some high-profile incidents involving the deaths of journalists. Maybe it's not. But there were certainly times we were out there after the police tape comes down and officers leave. And, you know, in that awful window, like let's say the officers tore down the crime scene at 9:48 and you are going live at the top of the 10. Yeah. And then you're standing out there I my heart breaks for that young man and his family. It's not feasible to have security with those crews. It's just not. It is not feasible outside of a huge event like a outside of the Super Bowl when you're going to have drunks, you know, streaming behind you. It's not right. feasible to have a security officer with every single reporter out there. But what you can do is say you don't need to be live in front of a dark house 4 hours after the shooting. Well, if you see right here behind me, there's nothing going on now. But 4 hours ago, a woman lost her. You know, you see those live shots all the time. There's absolutely no reason to be doing that.
Let me ask you a question. I've noticed something, and this has nothing to do with being at a crime scene or anything. You and I have been at plenty of those in the course of our careers. In fact, we met at what we thought was a crime scene that turned out not to be anything. It was a kid hiding while playing hide-and-go-seek in a closet and fell asleep. You remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
That's where we met.
The non-missing child.
Yeah. I have noticed, having watched the Today Show and Good Morning America over the last few years, that every packaged report starts with one of three words.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yep.
I guaranteed. And watch the Today Show or Good Morning America and try, if it's not like a entertainment story or something,
sure,
you know.
Sure,
The first word or words is either this morning, blah, 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 or overnight.
Yeah.
And I know they're lying because that overnight thing happened at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Right. How is it still breaking?
Well, it's not always.
I thought you were going to say the call came in at 9:48. You know, it's usually that.
Right. And can we please? I know we're on a little inside baseball journalism.
Festivus
here.
Friday doesn't start for 33 minutes.
It's a tirade. I could go for hours on this tirade.
Can we please get rid of reporters who use police jargon in their stories? For example,
vehicle
drives me crazy.
Perpetrator.
Apprehend.
Here's the one that drives me crazy.
I've been apprehended.
Non-life-threatening injuries.
That's the worst.
That is like nails on a chalkboard to me. No, they're expected to be okay. If you were ever sitting at a bar, this is Tom Volek, KU journalism.
No one would say non-life-threatening injuries.
Professor Volek's biggest lesson I ever learned was, write a story like you're talking to me sitting at a bar.
And you would never say the word vehicle.
Yeah. You would never, if I'm telling you, you know, hey, there was a shooting down the street from my house last night. Really, Scott?
The vehicle fled east.
Are they going to be okay? Yeah, they have non-life-threatening injuries.
The vehicle fled and the suspect was later apprehended.
Do you know how many times I picked up the phone
perpetrator.
And called the police and said, was it a car or a truck? Just tell us what it was.
Right.
I'm not using the word vehicle.
Here's another two words that should never be used in a news report. Male and female. It's either a man or a woman.
Did they flee in an unknown direction?
The male did.
Yes.
Was it an unspecified amount of cash?
We have a fleer.
Unspecified. There it is. That's a good one,
too. Is there ever a specified amount of cash?
Well, he was in a wreck, but he has non-life-threatening injuries.
$437 is what he got away with.
Drives me insane. Story here from apparently New Zealand. There are calls for warnings on helium canisters to be improved after a young mom died instantly after inhaling the commonly used gas at her child's birthday. A New Zealand woman, Faith Battistich, died after she breathed in the colorless, odorless element directly from the canister. When inhaled, helium displaces oxygen in the lung.
Was she trying to make the funny voice?
The high-pitched voice, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we've all done it.
Well, yeah, but not straight from the canister.
Now that is
a bit aggressive.
That's a heavy dose.
Like taking it.
When inhaled, obviously the helium replaces the oxygen in your blood, can create hypoxia.
Don't you remember one time on the show we were doing that and speaking like, you know, chipmunks and kind of goofing? And
you guys tried to make me do it.
Someone wrote in and said, all kidding aside, like, stop doing that. You know, one or two is fine. But if you keep doing that, you actually could fry your brain cells or, you know, what?
Right.
I was like, oh.
Even
great.
One inhale, you're killing brain cells.
Really?
Yep.
I don't consider that to be the same as huffing, and I've never huffed. As one who has never huffed.
That would be huffing, actually. The act of huffing
I have, and I'm not proud of it.
Inhaling a foreign substance.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. It appears we are moving closer to the news conference out of Washington, D.C., getting the alert now from Dan in the newsroom.
Okay.
Let's go to break now. We will come back and take that live if and when that that happens.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Dana's going to go two-stepping tonight at a honky-tonk. Going to get a can of chew before you get there.
I'm going to put the honk in
that tonk. Going to get a spittoon and a can of Copenhagen long cut.
Twing.
Long cut only.
Yeah, don't get the fine cut because that would get stuck in your teeth. Go with the long cut only. Fox 4, some Overland Park residents said excessive trash has been piling up at their apartment complex near 140th and Metcalf. No one that Fox 4 spoke with wanted to go on camera or give an official statement, but this seems to be a recurring problem in the metro. Dumpsters at the apartment complex had the name Republic Services displayed on the side, which is a North American waste disposal company. Okay, fine. Employees explained the complex has a contract with Republic and that pickup has been delayed. Handful of workers spent Wednesday picking up the trash and putting in an extra dumpster. They expect the issue to be resolved this week. Republic did issue a statement. They're based out of Phoenix, to Channel 4, saying due to the winter storms in early January, Republic experienced minor delays, as did every hauler in the market. We utilized every available resource to ensure that any impacted customer was serviced as soon as it was safe to do so. What are you talking about? We had a snowstorm in my neighborhood. Well, in everybody's neighborhood.
Yeah.
And trash was delayed one day.
If that.
One day. Huh. All right. By the way, we are standing by for the NTSB news conference. They're ready to roll, apparently. Nobody's shown up at the podium yet. Now, a former Postal Service worker in New Jersey confessed to stealing thousands of dollars worth of sports memorabilia. By thousands, they mean $100,000, including multiple cards of NBA legend Michael Jordan. Shelby Dozier, 34 years old, of Bronx, New York, pleaded guilty this week to theft of mail by a Postal Service employee, according to federal court records obtained by the USA Today. Dozier had worked as a sorting clerk at the Clifton, who cares? Shortly after Dozier began working at USPS, several parcels intended for delivery to a consignment auction house in Clifton went missing. The auction house specialized in selling trading cards and sports memorabilia that it received from customers around the world. Okay. They caught her, $100,000. And how long is she going to go to prison?
All right, Todd Inman, NTSB board member, is at the podium now giving an update on what happened in Washington. Let's go live now.
They are having it's a hard time for them, obviously. And we want to do everything we can to make sure they get the most accurate information and factual. And has always been at the core of the NTSB mission. Our job is to just come out with the probable cause, but then more importantly, make recommendations so that this type of tragedy never occurs again. So today, I know yesterday you saw the chairman, myself, and all the board members here. I just want to let you know, they are still actively involved with this. We're just trying to make sure we're dividing and conquering. The chairman and I have had multiple conversations today. She's helped out a lot in making sure we're getting the investigative needs we have. And she's at the command post right now working with some of our people. I'd like to start by just thanking the first responders. When this first happened, a unified command was set up, and we had a lot of important people that came and worked with us. In Virginia, the Fairfax County Fire and Rescue, Fairfax County Fire and Rescue Department, Arlington County Fire and Rescue, Arlington County Emergency Management, Arlington Police, Alexandria City Fire, Alexandria Police, Virginia State Police, the NCR Incident Management Team, the Virginia Department of Emergency Management, the Virginia Department of Transportation, the Virginia Senator Warner's Office, MWA's Fire and Rescue Team, MWA Police. A special shout out to every one of them. MWA has been amazing in helping and working with us, and we're truly appreciative. Along with DC Fire and Rescue, just extraordinary, taking the lead. Prince William Fire and Rescue. In Maryland, the Montgomery Fire and Rescue, Prince George's Fire and Rescue, Charles County Fire and Rescue, Baltimore Fire, Baltimore Police, Anne Arundel Fire Department, Maryland State Police, Maryland Natural Resource Police, MPD, DCFD, and from the federal side, the U.S. Coast Guard, U.S. Army, U.S. Air Force, FBI, Secret Service, Customs and Border Patrol, Park Police, DOD, Naval District Washington, American Medical Response, and yes, the U.S. Department of Labor. All of those have been amazing partners and are one of the reasons why that this investigation continues to progress the way we want it to. As I said, we did family briefings last night, and today there are over 100 family members that are now in the area receiving briefings and, as part of a legislative requirement, receiving family assistance. They have been briefed by the medical examiner, the fire chief, NTSB chairman, and myself, along with the family assistant unit from PSA Airlines. In regard to NTSB staff, all staff are now on scene that have been requested, and I want to point out one specific staff member, because we're doing a joint NTSB and DOD investigation. The NTSB actually has a Black Hawk certified pilot on staff, on our personal staff, based out of Alaska. Once we realized the dynamics and the intricacies of the Black Hawk, we have brought that member in. They are on scene now, providing direct technical assistance to the NTSB. That does not mean that the DOD is not working and helping with us, but in order to maintain our independence, we have our own Black Hawk certified pilot in the working group for helicopters. Regarding salvage at this point, the Navy Supervisor of Salvage is conducting salvage operations at the current time. Barges are en route from Virginia Beach, and we anticipate them to be on scene early tomorrow morning. After their arrival, they will be secured, located, and then significant salvage operations will continue. They are ongoing right now, but this will be the main lifting.
It's being done in conjunction with the DC Medical Examiner's Office in order to make sure simultaneously that any additional victims are recovered and immediately turned over to them for identification and return to their families. SUPSAL, which is the supervisor of salvage, is also conducting a debris mapping right now. This will help in our post-accident analysis of how the machine actually reacted to the incident. It'll also help us with understanding some of the airworthiness and crashworthiness and human factors. We have right now two distinct debris fields. One that houses the Sikorsky, which is in comparison to the CRJ, a little bit smaller. To the CRJ is in another distinct area, and we consider a little bit larger. The good news is, based upon the initial mapping, while there are some small aspects of that debris field, there are large chunks that will be easily recoverable, and it will aid in the investigation when we bring it into the secured facility that will be located here on MWA. That will help us in the close proximity to be able to review and evaluate. Yesterday, we outlined for you a number of groups that have been stood up. A few of them in particular I want to call out, although every one of them have been working very hard. For your edification, the ATC group, Air Traffic Control, has been conducting interviews today. They're ongoing tonight. They will be ongoing for probably the next few days. We've had full cooperation in getting the witnesses that we need to gain those interviews. We will then take that information and match it with other data that we're receiving, and if necessary, conduct follow-up interviews at a later time. Our operations group now has on site an exemplar airplane similar to the CRJ-700. It's on a hard stand here at MWA. They will use that to evaluate cockpit configuration, seating, things like that. So whenever the salvage comes up, we're able to use an exemplary aircraft to match it against examples such as where maybe switches are, navigational aids, electronics. It is almost the exact same configuration as the incident aircraft. I want to clarify one thing. There's been a lot of questions and discussion regarding manifest. Let me make this very clear. The NTSB will not and has not released a manifest. We have not in our history, not in our past. We will not be in this accident. In fact, there's specific congressional language that whenever it is in our possession, it is not available through the Freedom of Information Act. It will not be included in our report. We will not be putting any names of any of the victims. Any release of that information will come from other individuals or groups. Regarding the recorders, as many of you saw last night, we recovered from the CRJ two separate recorders. One was a FDFR, that is a flight data recorder. FD. That was actually in what we consider good condition. As part of that process, it was soaked in alcohol overnight. It was then opened today, and we have a high level of confidence that we will be able to get a full download in the very near future. Now, once we do have that download, we will not be releasing immediately the information regarding it. We will have to go through, correct the data sets, make sure they're synchronized. This has approximately up to possibly 2,000 data points. Is that right, Bryce? So all of that has to be synchronized and looked at. It's a very laborious practice. It takes a lot of time. Regarding the CRJ's cockpit voice recorder, once it was recovered and opened, we found that it had water intrusion. That is not uncommon. It is not an unusual event for us to receive a recorder with water intrusion. We deal with that all the time. Our recorder division is one of the best in the country. in the world, actually. We have recorders sent everywhere, so there's a step. The CVR was soaked overnight in ionized water, at which point the team put the CVR into a vacuum oven in order to extract moisture. They are still checking electrical connections to determine if they're ready to try a download. It is one step of many steps that we will take in order to get that data, but we have a very high level of confidence that we will have it. We just have to work through a number of steps. Lastly, on recorders, the Sikorsky, where the CRJ has two separate recorders, the Sikorsky has a combined cockpit voice recorder and digital flight data recorder. It's in one box. I can report to you now, we have recovered the Sikorsky black box. It is safely at the NTSB headquarters. It will begin an evaluation, just as the other two recorders did last night, to determine when and how to take action. I can tell you from a visual inspection, we saw no exterior damage that would indicate that it was compromised at this time. So we have a high level of confidence that we will be able to have a full extraction from that as well. Those are some of the significant updates we have right now. Obviously, we'll be doing some more in the essence of time and making sure our team gets back.
All right, that is the latest from the NTSB, a news conference in Washington, D.C. Thanks to our partners over at CNN for letting us piggyback on their coverage. Don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. The airing of the grievances, it is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. I have had it.
No.
I have had it.
It is not Festivus Friday yet. You are not allowed to complain about what I just did.
Wait, what did you
just do?
Did you go and lower?
Did you see us in your Sam?
No. I just heard the commercial and it inspired me.
I started singing and Scott goes, stop it! Stop it!
I was yelling.
He went mommy dearest in here.
Do you think they know how much free press they get from us?
So stop singing it.
You see, what had happened was after that commercial ended in the last commercial break, I'm sitting here reading some news story on abcnews.com, and she's over there doing whatever she's doing on her computer, and she just starts going,
he got like,
and I go,
ragey.
And I just go, stop it, stop it right now. She goes, okay, I'm sorry.
It's so good.
Whatever. Slower, lower. I don't care anymore.
You got to slow that GA down, baby.
I don't even know what it's for, but I think I need it.
What is GA? I have to now know.
General admission.
Somebody said it was called geographic atrophy, but I believe it has to do with macular degeneration.
No, it has to be geographic.
Yeah, because it talks about a shot in the eyeball or something.
It is a shot in the eyeball. That is correct. It is called geographic atrophy. It is a prescription medication that treats geographic atrophy, which is age-related macular degeneration, or AMD.
I'd rather go blind.
And Izervay
is indeed a shot.
In the eyeball.
To the eyeball. There
is no way I could ever let somebody put in me. Oh, my God, just the thought.
Gets GA going
slower.
I had
like 30 needles put in me today, and it was my happiest moment ever.
Yeah, but they weren't in your eye.
Do you know what I felt today when they put them in?
Boy, you're really into this.
It felt like waves lapping from the left side of my body to the right.
Eastern Chinese medicine, baby.
For the first time today, they put three or four in my abdomen. I'm not sure why. Didn't care. Didn't feel a thing. I just slowly laid back and thought, I
survey.
It's GA going slowly.
And it lulled you to sleep.
It did.
Wow.
I was in a mood when I walked in there. I was all hyped up and bad. I just called Scott and I'm like, I'm in a bad mood.
Oh, yeah, she did. She goes, I was driving in for that client meeting and my phone rings and it's Dana. And I was on with Sarah, so I called Dana back. And she picks up the phone. She goes, can I just vent for 10 seconds?
What happened?
Well, I don't even remember because those needles went in my body. I started hearing that song, and I think I saw Buddha or something. I don't even know what I saw.
Wow.
I was in a happy little place.
They put drugs on the tip of those needles?
No.
Wow.
It just makes me go, no, Buddha.
Goo goo gaga.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, all the phone lines are open. If you want to get in for Festivus Friday, 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. This is the best and easiest time to get in. Airing of the grievances when we return on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.